Welcome back to the Bangers This podcast. After a short break, we had, you know, Julian out doing field work, and we're back now to go over all that. But also, the usual menu is still in store today. We'll be looking at a song. That song is called A Single Tear by Converge. And editor, can you just jump us into a sample right now, brother? Yeah, so that bangs pretty hard. But before we get into that, sink our teeth into it, boys. Welcome back, Julian, Daniel. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Now, what's been happening in music this week?
I don't know about this week, but there's been a bit going on the last week or so. Why, is there anything you want to touch on specifically?
No, you know what?
I always say that. It's like you're leading into something, but then you're just asking me a question.
But today, I need you guys to carry this section for us, this part of the podcast is up to you guys. Yeah. What's happening?
Music? We all know what I've been doing this past week.
Yeah, mate.
Like the fact that I found any time to listen to this song is just unbelievable. Yeah,
we appreciate it.
I've been listening to Avenged Sevenfold's latest release.
What? 7 years in the making.
It's
finally album.
It's finally out. It's
the
out.
Album has been.
The album is out. I've got a copy of my vinyl over there. You can sort of see. Up on the shelf away.
A smear of shit on the, yeah.
Actually, check it out. Actually, some really fucking wonderful artwork. But I think we'll talk about that probably next week a little bit more. I've been very occupied with that, so I apologise. I've gone back into my old ways of just listening to one fucking band on repeat and... Yeah.
That's it.
We got the six stack and the boat going.
And it just happens every album cycle like that Avenged habit.
You live for it, mate. You breathe it.
Well, look, it's just different. It's like a cult for me, basically.
A cult.
So, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Julian, what else has been happening in music this week, mate? Any good news? Any good bands doing anything exciting? Drama?
Speculation. So about a week and a half ago, Polaris put out a new single from their new record. They announced it. The song was called Inhumane, and the new record is called Fatalism. They then, like 3-4 days ago, and it was a little bit around that time as well, they then the next day announced a tour to support Fatalism. Whoa. And it's fucking enormous because they're bringing August Burns Red, Kublai Khan and Currents.
Mad.
Which is like fucking insane.
That's mad.
Now, okay, Currents and Kublai Khan, TX is their full name, but they're both all right. But for August Burns Red to get on the undercard for Polaris, I get it's hometown heavyweight sort of thing, but that's fucking massive. So there's quite a few people I knew that were very excited about that. We all got tickets to the we all treated it like a fucking Sydney show and bought tickets literally the second they came out for pre-sale.
And it's down at like the university up here.
Yeah, it's literally
the university. I reckon it'll sell out. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, probably. The general sale was the 8th, so whatever day it is today.
Not
at the
8th.
Time of recording, it is the 9th. So they come out yesterday.
Oh,
so
right,
I probably,
cool.
Yeah, but
I'll be fine, yeah.
I mean, I probably wouldn't fuck around with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, it's pretty bad that they're coming.
I put it in my calendar.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I put it in my calendar already with every intention of buying tickets and getting there. So, just Joel, we going or what?
Going around to it.
I mean, we have to do field work. We'll have to go. I'm going to have
this
to put
is,
a
this is true.
Claim it on it tax.
Is.
We're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been sinking my teeth into a bit of Currents. They are great. Amazing. Love them.
Currents is good. Yeah.
So, we'll get to that as well. That's good. Everything's alive and well in the metal music world, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. I think we're talking about maybe getting Currents out.
Currents is on. It's on the agenda.
On the agenda.
On the agenda, yeah.
It's on the bangers list, as it were.
Yeah.
It is. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, I don't know if I mentioned it last episode. August Burns Red. They put out a new record. Did we touch on that?
Joel and I talked a bit about that.
You said you listened to it heaps, and then I finally got around to listening to it.
Yeah.
And it fucking slaps.
It does slap.
It's just solid from.
What do you think of? I think it's the first two tracks. It's whatever the intro is.
Repentance, I think it's called.
And then how it leads into the cleansing. And the cleansing is just like I talked to Joel. I said I didn't want to say the M word, but I call it a masterpiece. And it was
M-word. Yeah. I heard a different letter there. Fuck. Bangers List was about to take a turn for the worse. I definitely think it's a bit more solid than I don't know. Guardians was so fucking good too. Anyway, we're not here to talk about August Burns.
What we really want to talk about is your your field work, mate. You've done a lot of research and spent some time out and about for the podcast. You went to Knotfest many weeks ago now, and you really just recovered. That's why it had such a long break.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it. What happened? Where was it? Where'd you go? What did you do?
Okay, so we went to the Sydney edition. Man. It was in Centennial Park, which I'd never been to a festival there before. And I'll go into detail, but to summarize it basically, it was hands down the best metal or like best metal festival I've ever been to. And that's including all the so sound good. Waves. Yeah. Now, the reason it was so fucking good was one of the reasons. It was one stage the whole way through. So it was AB configuration for the stage, but there was only one stage active. Yeah. Right? So
next to each other. Like
yeah,
next
yeah,
to,
the
right
AB
next to each
config
other.
We used to so see good. At Soundwave. I'm wiggling my fingers like that, but nobody can see it. So I think we got there as my friend Zoe and I went, as fucking yeah, Bad Omens. Yeah, shout out Zoe. Bad Omens was playing, and you could hear them from like before the ticket gate. Funnily enough, we both left our fucking driver's licenses at home. We realized at Pheasant's Nest that I'd left my wallet at home.
So you,
I was like,
you're driving the car, 3-hour drive, past many cops and aerial speed detection devices.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. If you get pulled over, you've got 72 hours to present your driver's license at a police station.
God, love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just like show them your picture of your license on your
Funny
phone?
Funny you mention it.
In New South Wales, you can.
Yeah. So my mate Ash was at the festival already. Shout out, Ash. And he went and spoke. He went to the gate and spoke to the head of security there and explained the situation. And the guy just said, this is my name. If they get into trouble, tell them to go and get blah. And I'll come over and sort it out. So I had a picture of my driver's license. Little did we know, we get there, they're accepting photographs of driver's license. They didn't give a fuck. They were letting everybody in.
Yeah, mad.
Well, I was stopping some people to look like they were 12 because it was an all-Asian show. But anyway, that was pretty smooth. This where they had the stage, it was on a slight downhill towards the stage. So the VIP area was on big sort of stilts that we could see fine. And where we were hanging out was sort of behind the sound tent, there was a row of sort of pillars.
I thought I got you into the VIP area.
No.
Oh, fuck, I suck.
No. I didn't do that. But no shit, everywhere from within about 100 metres from the stage, 180 degrees around, you could see and hear perfectly.
Oh, wow.
Because from where we were standing to the stage, there was probably about, I want to say, 2 metres of fall, maybe a metre and a half of fall, probably so about 100, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 metres. We were standing a fair way back. Unbelievable.
Mad.
You didn't have they like a lot of festivals now, there are lots of like you never had to line up for a drink. You didn't have to line up for food. There was fucking vendors out the wazoo. They had live wrestling all day.
Yeah.
Like full on WWE style wrestling.
What?
Yeah, they had carnival rides. The only issue we had was the merch tents were just swamped all fucking day. It did rain. We got fucking pissed on.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But we got saturated, but I went and bought a shirt. You know, that was a good deal.
What shirt did you get?
Oh, I just wanted the Slipknot ones. That
how much? 80?
No, it was like $60. Yeah, I bought a couple of ponchos and then it didn't rain again.
Yeah.
The annoying thing was the shirts were printed on Gildan.
Yeah.
Which is like not the top tier for band shirts anymore. It's all AS colour.
Yeah.
But like I was standing there going, fucking which one do I want to buy? And don't get me wrong, I love Slipknot. Their fucking shirts suck. I'd rather they're like WWE shirts. They're just really gaudy.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, and that's whatever. Like, that's fine. I don't care. But I was just looking at them going, I don't want to fucking wear any of these. And I ended up buying one that was like 3/4 of a size too big. So now it's just a round the house shirt.
Yeah.
You've got to have those shirts.
Look,
you need the round the
back
house
to the actual festival. It was fucking awesome. I saw Knock Loose for the first time. They were massive, really tight changeovers between all the bands.
Because I just said one stage at a time, so that's prep one, play on one, then swap
up. Yeah. Trivium was good.
Yeah.
Megadeth was dog shit, but that was expected. Damn. That was that fucking Amon Amarth.
Yeah,
were they fun?
They're a bit cringy in my opinion.
Okay.
Like just sing about Viking stuff.
Yeah, I know, but the whole like pirate Viking metal thing.
You can't understand what he's saying.
You fucking can, and it's not great. Anyway, look, no, not for nothing. They put the really tight musicians. They put on a really good show. So just what they're doing is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Parkway didn't play a fucking single song that they played Carrion.
Yeah, of course.
That was it. And they played Karma too. So they played two songs that I liked.
Yeah, their stage.
Their stage show was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Winston McCall cruising around in all white.
Yeah.
All like snow white colouring, like singlet,
bulletproof
vest.
That's his
pants
look now.
And everything. Yeah. They had the fucking like cunts on stage with the flame torches and big.
Yeah.
Fucking, and then they had the three, the string section.
Yep.
He came out into the crowd. I actually didn't see him get his way out. But he stood on this like little sort of like mound or like big thing of boxes or whatever in the middle of the crowd. He's like, I want you cunts to do a circle pit. And that was for Karma. So Ben Gordon does this fucking massive snare roll and then starts the Karma, yeah, like the two up and down and stuff. And then literally the whole crowd was spinning around Winston McCall as he's standing on this fucking huge like road case in the middle of it. And then he crowd surfed while singing back to the stage. Yeah. So, I mean, and they were second.
Does he think he's still 23 or something? Jeez.
Yeah. Well, yeah, considering. Anyway, so, Slipknot was the last band on, obviously, because it's their show.
And what time did they come on?
9 o'clock.
9 p.m., yep.
Yeah. And they were great. Mm-hmm. I think Parkway had a bit more panache because they had big, like, flame jets and stuff. I was talking to someone about this the other day. Slipknot doesn't have a massively, like, crazy stage show. They've just got a lot going on at all times. Yeah. Like, it's a huge stage. There's, like, lots of fucking levels.
Well, they've got, like,
shit.
8, 9 members.
9, yeah. Yep. Sid Wilson has a treadmill in front of his DJ booth. Like, it, you know, it's the whole – he literally
he's
does.
Busy.
Yeah. It's just – it's very busy. It's, yeah. There's a lot of little things.
Mm.
So, whereas Parkway had a bigger sort of atmosphere, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, Slipknot, obviously, with their masks as well. Like, that's their gimmick. That's their theme. It's not really – Parkways, it's a more sort of...
Well, there's only 5 of them.
It's so the atmosphere. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've got to make a bit more of an atmosphere.
I think it's more about the sound and the atmosphere, Slipknot. It's, you know.
There's always someone to watch. You could literally stand there and watch Craig Jones headbang all day and be like,
speaking
how does your neck not hurt?
Did I hear he's just departed, Slipknot, Craig Jones?
No.
Like very recently. I think like just yesterday it was announced.
There you go. I heard.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Surely not.
Yeah, it's popping up on all the the metal news feeds.
That's music news. Yeah.
So I don't know what the story is, but they're already, I think they're already looking at unveiling a new member. So I think it's actually probably been happening in the Slipknot camp for a while now.
They didn't need to say anything. They could have just given the next person the same mask and just said, "Rip in, mate."
Yeah.
No one will know.
While Julian's looking up the facts for me to make sure I'm not talking shit.
Yeah.
On the topic of festivals with the stages, I think it's great that they just had an A and a B stage and it's alternating. I think that's so good because that's always been a problem of mine. Back in Soundwave, Good Things, Download, whatever we've gone to, you've got to go and friggin' plan out your day and you got to find like your buddies or whatever and decide like which bands you're going to see with your buddies, which bands you're going to go off on your own. And it's just this, it's just a fucking nightmare. And you want to like have a plan and just go around with your mates. If there's just two stages, just quality after quality after quality.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
With other entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think it just would make the experience so much better. So I would love to go to a festival like that. So I'm disappointed I didn't go.
It should set the standard. Like good on Slipknot for sorting it out and knowing and realizing. Similar to how Ed Sheeran was like the first person ever to do a 180-degree performance in like a big stadium and get the biggest crowd ever. Like it's
cool.
Just a little bit of innovation.
Yeah.
Just do it, make it better, make the experience better, and then more people.
Or Metallica have done it.
They did the full
360.
Yeah, 360. Yeah, they did. I think a lot of people probably have, but it's just like where you do it and how you do it and how you implement it and execute it.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And anyway, it's on Slipknot, so Craig
so
Jones
Goss,
is
lost. Literally
he's gone.
But this article from fucking Who Cares, without explanation, Slipknot has, you fucking illiterates, deleted their social media posts announcing their split with Craig Jones.
They deleted it?
Yeah.
Deleted the posts?
Yes.
Okay.
Weird.
Who cares?
So it was announced and they deleted it. And so it's been
denounced. Is he not in the band anymore?
Fuck no.
Sounds like drama. All right, you guys want to move on?
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Marketing ploy.
That's all I'm
going
to be thinking about this episode. I love Slipknot, but I think they need to fucking pack it in, eh?
Yeah, right.
Like, Sean Cran's on an indefinite hiatus. I believe his wife is ill with something, which is pretty tragic. Mm. So, you know, like, hopefully that... I don't know what the situation is, but, you know, wish them the best and that. But, it's been, like, nearly 30 years. They just need to pack it in.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen interviews. Even Corey Taylor said live. He's like, I'm so fucking old now. Like, I can't keep doing this. It fucking hurts.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because people were making fun of him.
Oh, shit.
So, okay. Anyway, continue.
All right. So,
you guys want to move into the meat? Well, you want the meat to move into you of the podcast? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, earlier everyone would have heard a sample of the song we're doing today, and we are talking about A Single Tear by Converge. These guys are actually almost as old, if not older, than Slipknot.
They've been around since 1990 at least.
Yeah, and
holy shit.
Their first release was like 1994. It was called Halo in a Haystack, and they did 1,000 vinyl copies, and then they never re-released it. but you can listen to like the audio online and stuff. They've had the same singer and guitarist since they first started in 1990 right. or 1994, whatever you'd like to choose. And they've gone through a lot of, not necessarily sound changes, but they've like had a lot of different, like it's all hardcore and metal, right? It's like they're two genres, but they've done like a lot in those genres, if you know what I mean. Different sounds and lots, there's some kind of cleans here and there. There's the yelling, there's the screaming, there's more sounds than just the guitars. There's a fair bit of like experimentation in their long, illustrious career. When I say illustrious, I feel like they haven't really reached the stardom of a lot of the bands we kind of talk about.
No.
But in saying that, interestingly enough, they actually were, in 2017, the 61st best album of all time, according to the Rolling Stones Best Metal Albums of All Time list. So there wow. you go. That's, I guess that's big. I'm sure the Rolling Stones magazine probably listens to more albums than we do with their staff and power, but I hadn't heard of these guys until a few years ago when I put them on the bangers list, and I was like, and honestly, like a lot of the other stuff isn't that good, but then yeah. to hear they've gotten that kind of accolades, I was pretty impressed.
So in a weird way, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
In a weird way, I'd heard of them.
Yep.
About, I don't know, let's say 10 years ago, yep. 8 years ago, but I didn't know it was them as such.
Yes.
It's a weird story.
So when I was in high school, yeah, early 2000s or so, I heard these guys and they were too heavy for me. There you go.
Yeah, right.
It's a bit of a, because their album was like popular. One of their, and I was yeah. like, this is too much for me. I remember that. And Jacob Bannon is the lead guy, and he's, a lot of the content in their songs is some pretty heavy stuff. He's obviously yeah. going through his own like mental health journey, as we all are. And he's,
I really gave a few of their older thongs.
Yes.
I gave a few of their older songs. I'll never listen. And yeah, it's, I'll tell you the dumb story about how I heard of them. So they've got their record called Jane Doe.
That's the one. That's yeah, the one I was in high school.
It's like apparently, I did a bit of reading about them today, that record was like supposed to be insanely influential when it came out. It was sort of like,
it's good.
In the same realm as Alive or Just Breathing, as far as good, like, but for like hardcore and shit, I don't know. It was massive. Have we all seen the album cover for Jane Doe?
Yes. No.
Yeah, well, okay, well, whatever.
I'll
stick around with me. Yeah, it's like a black and white woman's sort of face, but it's kind of like a death mask.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very like just black and white sort of.
Okay.
Like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, I can't remember if it was through the band or just his own merch store, but Aaron Stringer from the Amity Affliction was selling a print. It looks like that. So Joel's holding it up for her. So just
their
face,
the girl, right? And like the breaking apart. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Aaron Stringer released this print of his own face, just the face in that style.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I think he drew it or posted it or something like that, and then everyone blew up and was like, oh, you fucking stole it from like Converge, rah, 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 blah, blah, blah. So he just made a meme out of it and started selling shirts with it on it from memory. I think it was them or Amity or something. I don't think he was meant to like rip them off or something. It was like an homage or whatever, but I heard of that, and then you know people just love to fucking whinge about stuff on the internet.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up. Who cares?
It's like they believe Converge is just entitled to that style.
Well, look, if someone was genuinely ripping them off, then sure, like, yeah. I have an issue with it. But shut the fuck up. Stop whinging on the internet. No one cares. Like, people that comment on things, no one gives a fuck. You know, like people.
Old man screams at cloud.
Oh, old man yells at cloud hard. And when you work at IT, that joke's even funnier, right? So that's how I'd heard of them.
Good.
But I just never connected that was the same band.
Yeah. And yeah. I know it's hard for you to talk right now, Daniel, because all you can hear is like the echoes of the Avenged Sevenfold album.
Well, it's actually
album.
Fucking hard to talk because I've just been at the dentist. So,
oh, okay.
You know, physically I am struggling a little bit to open my mouth.
Right,
so.
I'll talk shit and carry
sorry,
it for
yeah.
you.
Had you heard of these guys at all in any way,
no,
shape,
I hadn't,
or form?
I hadn't actually heard of them. This is the one and only song I've heard from.
Yes, that's success. Fuck yeah.
Thank
so,
you for the Bangers List.
The Bangers List has served its purpose in this case. I did listen to it not just
today.
Like, well, you know, a few times today, but I actually, when we talked about it a few months back and it was on the cards back then, I did start to give it a bit of a listen then and to get familiar with it. And yeah, listening to it again recently, it was all kind of there. So it wasn't completely, you know, uncharted territory for me.
Yeah, good show. You don't mind it? And I was like, don't compare it to the
Avenged
Sevenfold album.
It's
is it all right on its own? Yep. I know
well,
you're seeing everything.
Benchmark now,
yeah, you're seeing everything through like an A7X lens at the moment, so it's really hard to talk to you in like any meaningful way. Anyway, so Jacob Bannon, the lead singer, as I said, he's going through his issues and whatever, and he's doing good. And there's another guy that's been in the band the whole time is the guitarist, and I believe his name is Kurt Ballou. Ballou. Cool. Good on you, Kurt. Good shit, mate.
I know that from their 1993 release, they haven't changed the lineup.
Well, those two guys have been there the whole time. That's
But I'm just saying, on a side note, they had a few members come and go when they first started, but they've had the same lineup like 20 years or
that is so
30
impressive.
Years or something like that. Yeah, I think about like mid-90s or early 2000s, they got a couple of new guys. And well, it might have been the Jane Doe record.
Yeah, it just goes to show what life in Salem, Massachusetts is like, mate.
Of all places.
Yeah, of all places. So old mate, front man of the band, he hates what he looks like, right? So he's going through his own shit. And you can tell in a lot of their songs, his real passionate delivery, right? He's going through stuff. He jumped into water when he was a kid, like, you know, whatever, young teenager, and landed on a trolley and, like, fucking destroyed his knee and then, like, by extension, a lot of his life. Because, like, when you can't walk, think, you know, Pappenhausen, when you can't walk or do anything in there, your life does change a lot. People tend to leave you because they're busy doing their own shit, and when you're a teenager, it's very hard. Yeah. So he's gone through some stuff, and that gives him a lot of fuel for all these songs, and that's why they're so passionate and emotive. And I actually did put this song on the bangers list to share with you guys because it is so raw. Not raw XD, lol. Like, I mean, like, raw as in, you know, chicken breast straight out of the freezer kind of thing.
You've got to be, like, at least 30 to get that joke.
Yeah. it's really powerful, raw, emotive, and the delivery is – sometimes when I think about, like, if you sing like that, it can be shit the way he sings, but sometimes if you just do it right, it can be perfect. And I think for this song in particular, it's perfect. So more about them. It's just lyrically, this song, what he's saying. So a few of the really impactful, powerful things for me when he says, you know, you gave me a chance to be someone who deserved love.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a lot of learning self-worth, right? That's very powerful. A lot of people could probably stand to get a bit of that. You're allowed to be loved, right? Yeah.
Yeah, learning it from because I did have a look at the lyrics. Learning it from like off the back of something terrible, like a bad life event.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sort of how it.
Yeah,
yeah. Like the whole that single tear felt like swallowed by the sea, or whatever the analogy is he's going for there. It seems like there's been turmoil and then sort of the opposite of turmoil. The word that I can't think of what the word is.
Word eludes you, mate. Yeah, for the first time ever. Unbelievable.
Dude, I'm just blown away. Fucking Craig Jones left Slipknot. I just wish they'd pack it in. But anyway, sorry. Just I'm just going to sidetrack for a while. While you were talking about that, I was just looking at fucking their Instagram. There's like a photo of a new member with a new mask already. But well, they don't. Yeah. And everyone's like, no, it's Craig. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? So basically, there's just all the retardation on the internet. So I was just scrolling through the comments, just trying to numb all the brain cells that I have left. Anyways.
Well, look, Slipknot has always been Corey Taylor and Seven Session and fucking musicians, so it's all right.
I think Mick Thompson might have something to say about that. I think there's a few of them that definitely pull the strings. Anyway, back to post-hardcore.
Post-hardcore.
So lyrically, do we think that there seems to be...
he says a single tear quite a few times.
He does say single tear quite a few times.
Yep.
There's a lot of that going on. But to me, it looks like he might be talking about fatherhood.
That's what I was hoping because I'm like, oh, my God, this is right up my alley. You know? But it could also be singing about being a new partner. You know, maybe you get your first girlfriend after 26 years of not drinking alcohol and you think to yourself, fuck, how good's this?
Yeah.
You gave me the chance to feel loved. You know?
Are they a bit straight edge?
No, I honestly don't know. No, they're not. That was a joke at Daniel's expense.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, mate. You're just there. But like, it could be anything. You know, finally find someone that is not a toxic relationship. And you're like, this is amazing. Yeah. This is incredible. You gave me the chance to feel loved. But I was like, yeah, that's about being a father. It probably isn't. However, later in the song, there is a line which really, really, really is, I don't know, it's one of the most powerful lines I've ever heard. And the way he delivers it helps. He says... I've lost my notes. He says, when I held you, I knew I had to survive.
Yeah. All right? I held you for the first time.
Yeah, when I held you for the first time, I knew I had to survive. So there's a lot there because I don't know. Like sometimes maybe you feel like you don't have purpose until the right person comes along and gives you that.
But is he talking about a person or could he be talking about finding his purpose?
Well, that's my favorite thing about music, mate. You can make your own decision.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like I love how he delivers it, obviously. With their music and a lot of their stuff, his vocals aren't like the key piece that everything's supporting. Sometimes his vocals just in there to be like a punch in the face, or just like another part of the wash. Because a lot of the music just sounds like the wash. It's just like everything's up too loud, too much gain, and you can just hear some guy screaming. And that's what it's all like. But even in this, it just rings through just enough. I'm like,
I was going to say this later, but it's just fucking noise.
It is just noise.
As far as I'm concerned. had a weird sort of feeling on the way over. Now, there's a lot of things that this reminds me of, and I reckon that these guys are good musicians, but it's like the Five Finger Death Punch episode. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. And a lot of their stuff, because I've listened to a fair bit of it, a lot of their stuff is not my bag either.
It's fucking noise. It's literally just noise.
It's hardcore, and it's just it's like what they've done is they've got the boys together. Oh, let's have a jam. And he's like, what am I going to do? Motherfucker, you just scream to that mic, bro. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's it. We'll record that, release an album.
That's the impression that I've got from looking at some of the lyrics for Jane Doe as well, is he's literally just saying what he's feeling.
Yeah.
And he's obviously someone that's got big feelings, you know what I mean? Like, what do we say? LSD, right?
Big feelings. yeah.
That's massive LSD with this guy. And that's fucking really good. Because that shit came out in what, 2001?
Jane Doe, yeah.
Yeah, that was like when, oh, not the specific time, but emotional music, like hardcore and post-hardcore and stuff like that, was fucking well on the up at that point, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was like the birthplace of it, sort of thing, where you didn't have to be tough. You could say some really fucking emotional shit in a song, and as you know, as long as it was heavy as fuck, it didn't matter. Like, but exactly. That was when people started going, I don't really mind if people want to wear eyeliner and scream about their feelings. Like, whatever, I'm down with it. Do you know what I mean?
I think if you are screaming about your feelings, Daniel, you don't want to sound too cringe, right? It's a very, very fine line to walk.
But I don't think these people cared at this point. Like, this is sort of like, I think, the start of lyricism going, we don't fucking care if it sounds cringe, you know?
Okay.
This is how I feel.
This is us.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I try to write lyrics, it's always cringe. Like, no matter what. Oh, okay. It's hard.
Good to be self-aware.
Maybe it's good just to not fucking care, like Julian said. Maybe it's good just to not care and just speak how you're feeling and
I think that's probably
write how you're feeling and
I'd love you to write some lyrics and then I get to read them. No homo.
I've always felt it was a hallmark of good lyricists that caring was never a thought in their mind.
No,
because they're those, like, you know, it's like people that can rap, right? Like good rappers, like they have a really succinct, sound understanding of the English language and how to manipulate syllables and stuff like that. But they can just write it too, and you think, fuck, I wish I could do that, and not everyone can. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So they're just in their own way, or in the way I'm talking about, these people are the people that are capable of doing that.
Yeah, I really wish I could rap, but I'm actually quite crap. I'm sitting there with a pencil and a paper going tap, 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 stuff like that, right? Yeah.
That was fucking horrible.
Exactly.
Right? Because you can't do it. No, the worst thing about that was the fact that it was single syllable rhymes.
I don't even know the terminology of rap.
Not a rap aficionado or anything, but single syllable rhymes fucking kill me.
There you go.
Yeah.
So in saying all that, It's that creative outlet for someone to, they just do it. We do the podcast, just for me, I'm like, let's have a bit of a creative outlet with the boys. And here we are. So the same thing, he's like, I'm just going to write my feelings down, then I'm going to scream the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
And if people hate it, I hate it. If they don't, they don't. I found a few that I like, so.
Yeah, well, this is often, this right. 2017 release, isn't it?
Yeah, 2017.
I thought to myself, if they hadn't stopped sounding like that early 2000s post-hardcore by now, they're never going to.
No.
Well, post-hardcore, metalcore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It is strange how their sound hasn't, I don't know, it just is their sound. That's it. Yeah. They haven't really, yeah.
But, okay, riddle me this. Sound-wise, even including the vocals, what's the difference between this and Messengers by August Burns Red, a band that we all like?
Crisp.
Well, no, but it still had that raw, I get, you know what I mean?
Like, what's the difference?
Messengers had that really raw sort of feel, and Matt Griner beating the fuck out of a China.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's how that raw sort of sound to attached to it.
Every sound that ABR makes is more
refined. Their sound got a bit rounder and a bit nicer to listen. But that early shit, like the Thrill Seeker record, right? That was sort of like this. It was more like down the alley of noise.
Yeah. I assume that I like this song and some of their songs off the back of how I feel about like early ABR and even some early, like, let's say, Trivium kind of sound, thrashy.
Early Killswitch for me, all over it. Yeah.
I got Old From Autumn to Ashes was the first thing in Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Not as heavy, like their first album, Too Bad You're Beautiful, was like really like that scratchy, screamy, emotional. They had a fucking three track that had one of the songs was like Trapped Inside the Cage of My Soul or some fucking lame shit like that. Like, just all of the song titles was really cringy. But that's what 2000 was. Do you know what I mean? That's what it was. It was long ass fucking song titles.
Yeah.
And just raw emotion.
Yeah.
Just raw dog it.
There you go.
So emo was born.
Music was born. Like with their sound, some of their older stuff, there's a song called Wretched World, and it sounds like just grunge, like Nirvana rock type deal. So they've done that sound, and then they've done Dark Horse, which you obviously named your band after.
Oh, totally.
It sounds like a power metal song that they've done.
I thought he named his song. I thought you named the band after the Nickelback album called Dark Horse.
We're changing our name.
It's fucking on.
So yeah, that's about it. Like, obviously, you guys want to say anything else about them, because it's just a song I wanted to share to get us through and see how sometimes just like a few lyrics can really grab you and make you really like a song and it can really speak to you.
I do want to go down the sound itself, the music. We haven't really sort of.
I wasn't going to talk too much about guitars because I was hoping you would in my stead.
Yeah, look, it sounds very fun. It's frenetic,
as Julian would say.
It sounds like it'd be fucking hella fun to play, that's for sure. Early on in the song, and you hear it in that sample that we've got, kind of like AC/DC-esque.
Lead runs,
like think Thunderstruck, like a lot use of open strings, just gives it almost like a...
Hammer pull.
Yeah, it almost has like a folky sort of feel to it. But in a dark way, if that makes sense, like the way the strings are plucked, it's almost in like a folk kind of way.
Is that all hammers and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I think he's hammering. I think it's just like the odd triplet, but basically just pick pull off, pick pull off, pick pull off. It might just all be hammered.
What's the difference between a hammer on and a pull off?
Hammer on's when you go up in pitch, so from a lower note to a higher note. So say you were to have an open string, and then you'd hammer on with the finger to like the second fret. You'd be hammering on, and then pulling off is the reverse. So you'd pick the second fret, for instance, and then pull your finger off.
Lowering the pitch.
So your hammer on's going up, pulling off's going
down. I never bothered to ask that. So there you go.
Pulling off is other things as well.
Very niche.
Yeah.
It's a very niche joke, reference.
For that one bloke who gets it, we love you.
Yeah, the one listener in Canberra.
And now you know. Yeah. Fuck it, that's good, boys. That's good shit, man. What else? Yeah.
The drums are just like...
The drum's crazy.
Yeah, he's
just, I really love...
He's really good times. Very much a 2000s hardcore drummer. Mm.
Yeah.
Fucking jump on the tubs, go hard.
Jump on the tubs.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I noticed about them as well. They're not... just that really traditional post-hardcore. They've got a lot of double bass work, breakdown, stuff like that. You know, things that weren't necessarily prevalent back then. Like, I don't know when the unity of double bass and open top strings first occurred. I'm glad it did. I don't know when it started, but I know that those are the early days. Yeah, just imagine that. Just play that top. Don't like take your fucking left hand off the guitar and just play that top one.
We got to look. We should like look into that. When did
breakdown started?
Yeah.
Well,
how could you be so uninclusive? So listen, obviously, what's happened is someone said to someone, "Oi, do what I'm doing on my feet on your top string. But also, tune it down so it sounds like a fart. Let's go." That was it. Away they went.
What was the first breakdown you ever heard?
Oh, I couldn't fucking tell you.
Oh, jeez.
That's a great question.
This is homework.
Can we have a pause here?
Well, why don't we next podcast? Next remember podcast. We did our top five Come or back, top 10 yeah. albums. Let's go top five breakdowns.
Top five?
Top five breakdowns.
I'll do one because no one cares.
Or favourite. No, let's just do one. One each. Favourite breakdown.
This went from next episode to we can do this now.
the question. Right,
okay. Favourite breakdown. Let's
the
go.
Question. Okay, sure. The question can be your favourite breakdown, but the question was actually, when did you hear your favourite breakdown, right? Or what was your first breakdown?
What was the first breakdown you ever heard?
Yeah, I don't remember that. I'm going to have to, I don't remember.
What's it? You have to look it up.
I'm going to have to go back.
Have you cataloged every single piece of music you've ever listened to?
I've got memoirs. First breakdown.
There's going to be a lot of AC/DC in there.
I assume for me it was probably, I could probably answer this now. It must have been Children of Bodom back in early 2000s. Mm. Do they have breakdowns? Surely. Alexi Laiho, rest in peace, brother. Yeah, something like that.
We're talking... proper metal breakdown.
Oh, well, then I couldn't find
it. Right, because music breakdowns are they're everywhere. So, but the proper musical term, but we're talking metal fucking.
Oh, I fucking.
Dropping that
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was either Dead Dreams by Parkway, because my mate Chris.
Shout out Chris.
He used to play that. He was in my brother's year at school, and then he used to come pick me up in his shitty little fucking yellow Ford Laser, man. And we'd go to the skate park and stuff. And he used to play like Don't Close Your Eyes around that time. So I think it was that, but it was either that or Count Your Blessings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Count Your Blessings.
Yeah, because yeah, that was 2006. Because so I went from like Green Day and Sum 41 and Blink 182 to Slipknot and In Flames.
Were you just like rocking up to school being like, fuck, I'm cool now?
No, because everyone hated my fucking music.
Oh, did they?
Everyone still hates my fucking music.
There you go.
That's
why you don't share it. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I don't share music with anybody.
Except the Bangers List.
Shit taste.
Oh, savage.
Yeah, exactly right.
Look, look, guys, I know what you're thinking. It's time to do the bangs. It is time to do the bangs. Who wants to go first?
Oh, we done talking about the song?
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, okay.
We spent half an hour talking about Slipknot.
I just thought of my first metal breakdown.
What was it? Yeah, let's go back.
Oh,
what
was it? Just, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you dickhead.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, though, but...
Iron Maiden?
No. Like, what breakdown do they have?
Yeah, they don't really
have any. We're talking like a modern metal breakdown. They were before that. Like,
yeah.
Metallica were before that. Like, Metallica probably had some, but it'd either be like by A7X or All That Remains.
Yeah,
I would say probably. I started listening to A7X first, so based on that, probably Burn It Down. Probably Beast in the Harlot.
Who Beast did in the Harlot, first A7X. Ever heavy metal breakdown? I've confused.
He's got his sound all the way down.
Metallica's Creeping Death has a breakdown. There you go.
I refuse to acknowledge. Now we know. I refuse to accept that.
Now we know. Can you edit that so it sounds not shit?
Can you edit that? According to Wikipedia, Joel's a fuckhead.
Yeah. Not paid enough for that shit. What about you, mate? What's the first
What's
that
the
comes
first
to
one
mind?
You ever heard?
We did it. We pulled it out.
I thought
you said Amon Amarth or some shit.
No, I said Children of Bodom back in the early 2000s, like 2001. No.
What song?
Downfall. Downfall. That's the first one I can think of. But I don't. And then, like, thinking back, I'm like, is that a breakdown or are they just fucking killing it? I don't know.
What about what's the best one you can think of, like, on the spot?
Horizons.
Like the song Horizons.
Yeah, the breakdown in Horizons by Parkway. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's your favorite breakdown.
That's
pretty good
breakdown ever for me. Obviously, there's a few other that I love and enjoy, but that one is like right up there.
I was going to say Boneyards. Same record. I would honestly say because I didn't really get into metalcore until I was like 18.
Okay.
And my girlfriend at the time's little brother had an iPod.
Man.
Like, you know, the scrolly, like scroll in a circle one. And I borrowed it to drive to the shops and listen to music because, you know, back in the day, you'd plug in your fucking aux cable and stuff and hope that it wasn't damaged. And Say Goodbye by I Killed the Prom Queen. I'd never heard anything like it. I was like, it's raw, but it's heavy as fuck. I don't know what to do with it. And then that breakdown hits. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? And the like, really naive young drummer in me was like, what the fuck's this guy doing with his feet? This is crazy. He's like going, dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun, you know what I mean? It was fucking blew my mind. So I listened to it like 30 times in a row.
And you go back to this kid and you're like, I've got to keep this.
Yeah,
this is mine.
I didn't even say anything. I just walked in and punched him.
Keep your sister.
Yeah.
I'm taking the iPad. That's good, man. That's good shit. What else? What else has got us, boys?
Oh.
Daniel?
What have I got? My favourite would have to be...
A7X.
No. But I'd have to say Falling in Reverse.
Oh,
Born to Lead.
No, come on. If you're going to say Falling in Reverse.
That is something else. Fat. That song is 100% inspired by Dragon Force, for all who didn't know.
Yep.
And just somehow keeping up with all the niche things we talk about. Yeah, that Dragon Force with the fucking heavy metal breakdown.
Jackie Vincent, Ronnie Radke combo,
surely you'd say
man.
Guillotine 4.
It's older than that one. No.
Just for how
we're talking about what's better at the moment, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Just for how
fucking mental it is.
Yeah, no, Guillotine 4, yeah.
There's so many out there. Look, there's so many.
Is up there. It's sort of on par, but for me, yeah, Born to Lead is just fucking epic. It's probably the most epic breakdown I've ever heard.
You could do an entire fucking episode and just talk about breakdowns.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. Next week can be the breakdown episode.
Come listen to us have a mental breakdown.
We'll play that, but we'll play that after. And
I want to listen to that. I'll check it.
It's fucking good. I was going to add to this. What was it? Oh, I'm sure. I reckon that. What did you say the Metallica song was? Creeping Death.
Creeping Death.
I think I'm going to say Pantera. Probably, we're probably the leaders in, you know, the pioneers of the breakdown.
Pantera.
I would say, yeah.
But let's say Slayer for some reason as well. I've been
listening to a fair bit of Slayer lately, actually. They're fucking really good.
Mm.
I mean, I knew about them beforehand, so I didn't want that to sound like I'd never heard of them, but they're just good.
Yeah.
I got a mate, my mate who coined the term bro metal? Che. Shout out, Che. it's a world tour on my fucking phone book at the moment. Slayer annoys him. I don't know why. It's like irrationally doesn't like Kerry King because he apparently can't solo.
Kerry King is a pretty good guitarist as far as I know, but
yes.
Opinions, please, by all means, go nuts.
Yeah, so I'll have to tell him I mentioned him on the episode again. He'll be like, oh, you're a dickhead, but yeah.
Or if you want to listen to 45 minutes of Autistic Dribble before we shout you out, bro, go right ahead.
I'm not going to give you the timestamp. Yeah, I'll just tell him it's like 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
Or if we had to say 40 before
yeah, 47 minutes and 30 seconds, yeah.
That's good shit. Anything else, boys? Where can people find you?
At the Bangers List.
Perfect.
That's
yeah.
Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter, okay. Yeah. All right, I come back to. Well, I suppose we should give Converge a little bit more lip service.
I was going to say, check out Converge, check out A Single Tear, and if you want to, there's a couple of other good songs in there, but maybe you got to find them on your own.
All right, bangs.
Oh, bangs.
The bangs. Haven't done any of that. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. Let's wrap up before that. Yeah. Who's going first?
You can go first.
Rochambeau. Oh, I thought you're first champion. Okay, off you go.
Cool. For those playing at home, we just did Scissors Pepper Rock in the middle of it, like the three of us. And Daniel his brain forgot. He couldn't. He's like, his hand was like, and it just did nothing. And Joel and I threw on like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Look, I think these guys definitely have their place in history. Like, from what I've read, you know, they've had quite a significant impact on the, you know, heavy genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, it's just fucking noise to me.
Yep.
But I don't think that they're bad musicians. Like, I think you can tell they're good at what they do.
I hope they don't listen to us and they're Dry Fighters.
Oh. So what's he going to do, write a song about it?
Please do.
Nah, dude's like 46. I mean, I feel old, but he is old.
I'll write a song about someone listening to us and then hating us and how shit the Bangers List is. And yes. That'll be the song that I write.
It'll be meta.
It'll be like meta, is that the word?
I don't know.
It'll be like real, what's that movie where you go inside your dreams? Inception, that's what it's going to be like. I'm writing about how shit this podcast is in a song about me, but it's from me to myself.
But you're currently in the dream right now.
Yeah,
I'm in the dream. This episode didn't actually happen. Up?
Is there like fucking weed in the air? Why are we, mushrooms or something? What's wrong with us?
All right, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it 6.5.
6.5.
That's just down generous. To personal preference.
Generous, man. Yeah. You can't measure bangs with personal preference, Julian. We know
But you don't. You don't want to undersell a band that is talented.
Yeah, true.
Just and be like, oh no, the shit, because I didn't like them.
You know what I mean? Appreciate you, mate. Daniel.
Look, it's a good song.
Okay, cool.
Like I've said a number of times already.
Good input.
Yeah, that's it. Done.
No. Yeah, it's a good song.
It's a good song.
I'm done. Now pay me for this episode, mate. Thanks.
Bring on the sponsors.
Come to my house.
Quality
and pay
content
me.
Right there.
Raid Shadow Legends. We're shouting them out.
Manscaped. Manscaped, yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was like a second behind you on that one.
I do dig the song. I think it's, like I said, it's quite fun and adventurous. I really like the outro. Like, the outro calls to me very well. Great
call
guitar.
Response, love
that's
it.
Something I didn't really mention, and I think it's almost got like a sense of doom towards the end.
It builds up. There's a crescendo very much. I was going to bring that up. Because you don't really see that all the time.
Mm.
It's definitely those songs, like some of those songs that have like verse, chorus, or like a structure bit. And then there's this sort of like the quiet bit in the middle, which we didn't talk about. And then there's that sort of crescendo where everything builds up. It's like the final boss fight in a movie sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? So the whole fucking way over, I was racking my bastard brain trying to think of it. Because I know like half a dozen songs that do that. I can't think of fucking any of them right now. Mm. It's fucking really annoying.
Really rare for you, mate.
I'd say Suicide Season, the song itself, or The Sadness Will Never End from the same record. It's like really emotional and that has that really big build up and sort of finish.
Yeah.
So fuck you, I thought of one.
Good work. You still haven't given us a number, have you, Chad?
No, I haven't. But yeah, anyway, great outro, crescendo, diminished chords, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I think they sound like diminished chords.
Frenetic.
But it gives it like I said, a sense of doom and
heavy,
hopelessness.
Yeah, heavy use of that those minors, yeah.
And I'm going to give it a 7.
Whoa, generous. Generous, boys.
Fuck, I hope you could top that, mate. You picked it.
He's just giving you like an actual critical analysis and you're just throwing shade.
Well, like you said before, yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah, goes hard.
I'm going to give it an 8 today because I feel like it's not something I would usually listen to. As you said, there's a lot of just noise, a lot of wash, But the passion, power, and the lyrics really put me up to it.
Yeah,
just like,
lyrics are
standing
out for sure.
It almost brings a single tear to my eye.
All right, I'm fucking done.
Waited all episode to use that pun. Let's call it there, eh? See everyone next week in the next episode. See, hear, whatever.
Hashtag at the bangers list.
At the bangers list. Shout
hashtag
out.
At the, hashtag, hashtag at the bangers list. At the bangers list.
We don't actually have Twitter. It's just we're like doing guerrilla marketing with a hashtag.
Yeah. Tell us what songs you like, as always, and we will be back very soon.
We'll be back in 1 week to listen to Daniel verbally masturbate over A7X.
Hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Walk it in. Peace.